Lord, that is our prayer this morning, that you would teach us to know you and to know you more. Lord, that we would lay aside the treasures of this world and seek and lay up treasures in heaven. Lord, as we prepare to sit under the preached word, Lord, I pray that you would prepare our hearts, soften our hearts to hear from you. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. If you have your Bibles, join me in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to grab one underneath a seat somewhere nearby. It should be a hardcover black one somewhere nearby. I encourage you to grab that and follow along with us. We start a new series this morning. Are you a disciple? Are you a disciple? As we come to this point in the service, I encourage you to answer that question for yourself. Are you a disciple? Not to answer it so much for the person sitting around you, not so much for your spouse, not so much for your kids, not so much for your parents, not so much for that person who's annoying you right now, whatever the case may be, that you would answer the question for yourself. Are you a disciple? And to be more explicit, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? You see, the reality is that all of us are disciples of someone or something. We are students, we are learners of a person or a thing or a group of people, whatever the case may be. And so we need to be asking ourselves, are we a disciple of Jesus Christ? And even more explicitly, are you actively walking as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you actively living in your actual life as a disciple of Jesus Christ? This morning, our sermon is titled just that, Are You a Disciple? In the introduction of our time together this morning, I said that we are a church of disciples of Jesus Christ. And so why would a church made up of, comprised of, disciples of Jesus Christ have a sermon series, a four-week sermon series, where we're asking one another the question, are you a disciple? Why would we do such a thing? Well, before we even jump into our text, I have three reasons, really for three different groups of people who are gathered here this morning, why we would ask such a question. The first reason for the first group of people is that we who are disciples of Jesus Christ, we are prone to wander, we are prone to slide away from doing the things that we know to do, we are prone to forget, we are prone to make up our own ideas and put our own ideas into what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We are just a fickle people, and we need to be reminded of what the Bible says, what Jesus says about being a disciple of Jesus. And honestly, over these 4 weeks, it's not going to be exhaustive. You may have in your mind some things that we need to talk about that Jesus talks about in the book of Matthew and other places. We're just going to hit some of the high points. But we need to be reminded of these things. Even we who are disciples of Jesus, we need to be reminded when we stray off course to get us back onto course. Honestly, that's one of the reasons we gather week after week. So often we're hearing truths that we really just need to be reminded of. The second group of people, and the second reason that we would have a sermon series and a sermon titled, Are You a Disciple? Is we want to invite you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Like, if you were curious, like, I wonder why my friend invited me here, or I wonder why they allow guests to come into this gathering of this church. Like, why do they do that? The reason we do that is so that you would join us in following Jesus. That's our goal. That's our aim. That's why we do it. We want you to follow Jesus. We don't need you to follow us. We don't even need you to join this particular church. What we desperately want for you is for you to follow Jesus. That's why we do a sermon like this. We want you to see in the Scripture. We want you to see what Jesus says about following Jesus. The third group, or the third reason, is that we humans are also prone to deception. Some of you are here and you're kind of confused about which one of those two groups that you're in. Either false teachers have been deceiving you, or you've been deceiving yourself, or Satan himself has been whispering in your ear through all the many ways that he does so, and you've been deceiving yourself about which camp you're in. And so we want to allow God's Word to show us what it looks like to be a disciple of Jesus, and that's going to help us, and we should be praying that the Holy Spirit would show us where are we, where do we need to get back on the path, or where do we need to follow Jesus for the first time, or where do we need to reject this false idea of Christianity that we've had and follow Jesus truly for the first time. So that's our aim this morning. Are you actively walking as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Pick it up with me in Matthew chapter 4. Again, those of you who are with us in the sermon series on 1 and 2 Samuel, we have a short passage this week. We have a short passage. Matthew chapter 4, I'm going to read starting in verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for your simplicity. Thank you. Jesus, I pray that you would show us who you are and show us that you are worthy to be followed. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would show us, examine our hearts, and illuminate your word to show us what we need to do to be transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do that in every single soul that is hearing me this morning. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're going to examine four characteristics of a disciple of Jesus Christ. Four characteristics. And what I want you to do is I want you to look at these characteristics. Hopefully, they will be clear to you in the passage I just read. Four characteristics. I want you to look at them like they're a mirror. And are they describing yourself? Like you're looking at it. Is this a foreign picture to you, or is it describing yourself? And what needs to change so that those things line up, right? So characteristics of a disciple meant to cause me to be more and more a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that's God's desire for you. God's desire is that all people would be disciples of Jesus. That's His desire. And so we want you to learn and study God's Word and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Satan's desire is to deceive you. Satan's desire is to trick you. Satan is given a few labels and names throughout Scripture. One of them is that he is a father of lies. And so there's things that you believe that are wrong about who Jesus is and about the Bible and about all sorts of other things. And part of that is Satan's tactic to pull you away from following the one true God. And Satan is also called the accuser of the brethren. The accuser of the brethren. The accuser of people who are Jesus followers. And so Satan is also going to whisper accusations about other Christians to you. Like, that guy, he's a fake Christian. Oh, that guy, whatever. Right? Might even do it for me. I don't like that guy's accent. I don't like his shirt. Whatever. It doesn't matter. He'll do all sorts of things. But God's desire is that you would be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Four characteristics. Number one, verse 17. A disciple of Jesus is a citizen of heaven submitted to the reign of King Jesus. A disciple of Jesus is a citizen of heaven submitted to the reign of King Jesus. Last Sunday, we concluded our preaching series through 1 and 2 Samuel. In that series, we constantly said that our aim in the series is in any circumstance that comes your way, you should trust in God and His anointed King and walk according to that trust. And we constantly, as we were going through that, we were like, the anointed king is not Saul. The anointed king is not David. The anointed king is not Solomon. Ultimately, the anointed king that fulfills all those promises is the one Jesus Christ. And we did that because of how the New Testament talks about Jesus. And one of the passages, one of the many passages that leads us to read our Old Testament that way is this one in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, Jesus shows up on the scene, right? He is starting his earthly ministry. He's an adult and he begins to preach. And he begins to preach what? He begins to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so you may ask yourself, what did Jesus show up to do when he started working and he started ministering in and around Galilee and Judea and Samaria and all the places that he went, ultimately to Jerusalem? What did Jesus show up to do? Matthew tells us. Jesus showed up to preach. What did Jesus preach? As it's recorded right here, a very, very short sermon. You're like, Brian, you should take some notes. That's all right, we'll get there. I'm not the perfect son of God yet, and so you're going to have a longer sermon because it's going to take me longer to explain things than it takes Jesus. But repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That word repent may not be one that you use on a daily basis. That word literally means a change of direction. When we're using it in biblical terms, typically it's a change of mind, a change of heart that leads to a change of direction. It leads to a change of words, right? It's a change of direction, like you're going this way and you repent and you go this way, right? That's what repent means. So he says, repent. Why? Why repent? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so the people that Jesus was talking to, they're going in the direction of following the kingdom of this world. They're going in the direction of following the kingdom of Satan and following the kingdom of self. And he says, turn around because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you may say, well, why is the kingdom of heaven at hand? Well, it's really simple, because the King of Heaven has arrived. So the kingdom of heaven has arrived because the King of Heaven has arrived. And so a disciple of Jesus is a citizen of heaven who is submitted to the reign of King Jesus. And so this makes our question this morning, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? It makes that of monumental importance. Because you see, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, then you are going to live with Jesus forever because He is God the Son of God, and He is going to live forever. He's going to rule and reign forever, and all of His followers are going to be with Him in heaven forever. And those who are not will be cast out. I just want to show you a little bit of the language about those who are not followers of Jesus. Go back to Matthew chapter 3. It's right here. We're just looking. I have to turn one page. You might not even have to turn the page. So there's a forerunner of Jesus called John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. And he is calling people to repentance before even Jesus shows up and starts calling them to repentance. And look at verse 11. John says, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hands, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff will burn, he will burn with unquenchable fire." Right? So if you've come in here and one of the lies that you've been believing is that it's not really that big a deal if I follow Jesus or not. No. John is very clear. Jesus is very clear in other passages. No. There will be those who will be gathered into the barn like wheat, and there will be those that will be burned with a fire that cannot be quenched, and they will be out. There's in or there's out. And one of the lies is that there's this like middle ground. There's not a middle ground. There's in and there's out. That's it. There's no like, I'm kind of in. There's no 1 foot in and 1 foot out. Like, it doesn't exist. I lived that way. When I was a teenager, I was like 1 foot in the church and following Jesus and 1 foot in the world and doing whatever I wanted. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And it's not true. You're actually living completely outside when you're trying to do that. And so the question for you is, are you a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? And are you submitted to the reign of King Jesus? Does that happen in your life? Are you submitted to his reign? Or are you outside? Let's continue. I just called Jesus a king and a preacher. And so you might imagine, okay, king feels like he's in charge of a lot of people. Preacher, sometimes preachers gather lots of people. And so maybe he's going to take this thing to the masses, right? Like he's going to take this preaching to the masses. Not so much. He takes it to two guys. And then he takes it to another two guys. And then he takes it to another two guys, right? And so he starts like this. In fact, Jesus spent most of his ministry pouring into 12 guys, and he poured into another 3 even more specifically. Did he preach to the masses? Absolutely. Did he preach to crowds? Sure. But he spent most of his time preaching to 1, 2, 3 at a time. You might also be wondering, like, okay, well, Jesus, if he's going to start this thing, all right, maybe he's going to go to the most influential people in the city. Maybe he's going to go to like the governors. Maybe he's going to go to the emperor of Rome. Maybe he's going to go there. Nope. Fishermen. Goes to fishermen. All right. Doesn't go to the chief priests. Doesn't go to the political leaders. Doesn't go to any of them. He goes to two fishermen. So pick it up in verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. They're casting a net into the sea, for they are fishermen. And he, Jesus, said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And so the next 3 characteristics of a disciple of Jesus Christ that we're going to talk about is really just working through the phrases of that sentence. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. This is the call to discipleship. This gives us a really good working definition for what discipleship looks like. And so the second characteristic of a disciple from that first part of verse 19 is a disciple of Jesus follows Jesus. A disciple of Jesus follows Jesus. You're like, that's what you got for me this morning? That's what I got for you. A disciple of Jesus follows Jesus. if you and Jesus are going to walk through this life, He's in charge. He's the leader. You're the follower. Just so you know, the same thing's true for me. He's the leader. I'm the follower. Like, if we're going to walk together, He's in charge. If I could say it a different way, we'll use different words. He's the boss. You and I are servants. To use the language from one of the songs we just sang, He's the captain of the ship. We're the deckhands, right? To use like a kids' games, there's a couple kids' games, right? Kids, we love to play Follow the Leader. Hopefully kids still play Follow the Leader. It's a great game, right? One kid flaps his arms. What do the other kids do? Come on, kids. What do? You flap your arms, right? And so if the guy in the front of the line hops, what do? The rest of the kids hop, right? What about the other kids' game? What about Simon Says? What do? You do what Simon says, right? Jesus is like Simon, and our job is to do what Simon says. Not to do all the other garbage that other people say, to do what Jesus says. Jesus is in charge. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you follow Jesus. Let's think about it more biblically. Jesus is described as the author of life, the author of all of life. You're not that. You're not there, right? Jesus is eternal. He has always been, and He is, and He will always be. You and I had a beginning. You and I started. We were born. We did not always exist. The Bible actually says about our existence in this world, that we are a vapor, we are a breath, we are a fleeting shadow. And some other things. We're like grass that grows up and then it's gone by, it withers by like this afternoon. You know what I'm saying? Like, we, our lives on this earth, and I know some of you are like really young and you're like, I got a whole life ahead of me. Just so you know, it goes really fast. Talk to old people. Like, it goes really fast. And it actually like accelerates the older you get. I'm just starting to figure that out. Like, wow, like 6 months goes by fast. Jesus is forever. We are a fleeting shadow. Jesus is the one by whom and for whom all of creation was created. And again, you and I, we're just us, right? We follow Him. He's in charge. Jesus is the Lord of angel armies. He is also the Lord over every human army that currently exists, that has ever existed, and will ever exist. He's in charge. He is sovereign over all armies, human and angelic. And they give us little tiny pieces of maybe one military, maybe, or one classroom, or one workspace, or one whatever we have authority over. A disciple of Jesus Christ follows Jesus. Have you gotten this one straight in your life yet? Like, who's in charge? Or do you still pray prayers where you're like trying to get Jesus to co-sign your ideas? Right? Have you paid attention to your prayers recently? Like, I've got this amazing idea. God, it'd be awesome if you just kind of like came up, showed up, and blessed this thing. Like, we're getting that backwards. Like, we should humble ourselves, adore God as God, confess for the moments that we have tried to be God, and then submit ourselves to His will in our life. Then we're ready to start asking Him for some things. Okay? Aligned with His will. If you're going to follow Jesus, Jesus must be in charge. Jesus shows up. We'll see this in Matthew chapter 5 through 7 as you keep reading the book of Matthew. Jesus shows up and he's talking about what the current interpretation of the Old Testament, and he's confronting the current interpretation of the Old Testament as merely physical things, and he's trying to cut to the heart, and he keeps saying this phrase, "But I say to you, I say to you," and they're baffled because he's preaching as one who has authority. Why does Jesus preach as one who has authority? Because Jesus has authority. A disciple of Jesus Christ follows Jesus. You're like, got it. My feet are going to follow Jesus. That's why I'm here. I came to church. Cool. It gets more difficult as we go. Third characteristic. A disciple of Jesus Christ is being changed by Jesus. A disciple of Jesus Christ is being changed by Jesus. It has been rightly said, very popular quote, it has been rightly said, people do not resist change, people resist being changed. Right? People aren't mad because you like changed something around them. They're mad because they have to change what they're doing, right? So if you change a policy at work, they're not mad because the policy changed. They're mad because it has to change them. It's changing what they have to do. Jesus' leadership in your life is not primarily about where you're going to go. It's not primarily about where you're going to live. It's not primarily about what job you're going to do. It's not primarily about who you're going to marry. It's not primarily about where you're going to go to school. It's not primarily about if you stay in the military or get out of the military. It's not primarily about if you go to this church or that church. It is primarily about you becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. Being conformed more and more to His image and His likeness. Jesus' leadership in your life is primarily about changing you into someone else. Maybe you've heard, come as you are. Very true. Come as you are. Jesus can save anybody from any walk of life, anything that you have done. Jesus is able to save you. However, He does not leave you there. He wants to change you from that into more and more of His image and likeness. You may have heard, come, anyone who will, come to Jesus. Yes, but as you come, be ready for transformation. And listen, it is heart level, gut level transformation. Right? It's not just about our feet and our hands and our words, though all of those things will be affected. It is primarily about your heart posture. Just to go through the fruit of the Spirit in our lives as we follow Jesus. Jesus takes people who are filled with hate, just hate-filled people, and He makes us love-filled. From hate to love. Jesus makes the grumbler, whiner, complainer. He makes us joyful. Jesus takes the anxious, like, just, I can't get over the fear and the anxiety I have. Jesus takes that and He gives us peace. Jesus, get this, He takes, especially in our culture, He takes the hurried, stressed out, freaking out, distracted. He takes all of that and He makes us patient. Right? Like we, our society, we have the attention span of a gnat. Right? Like we are so distracted, we're stressed out, we're freaking out all the time. Jesus gives us patience. Patience. Like, oh, I got a line to wait in? Sweet. I can just sit here and pray for all the people that I forgot to pray for this morning. Oh, I'm in traffic. There's no traffic in Eastern North Carolina, just so you know. If you're saying you have traffic, go visit somewhere with traffic. There's no traffic here. But if the gate, like, gate traffic's a little bit worse than it usually is, like, just pray. Turn off the radio. Just pray. Pray for people. Lord gives us patience. Jesus takes cruel, just cruel people, and He makes us kind, right? So if somebody's being cruel to you, you'd be like, man, they really need Jesus. And Jesus can make that person kind. Like, think of the meanest, vilest person you've interacted with this week. You'd be like, wow, Jesus could make that person nice. Isn't that crazy? He changes us. Jesus takes the bad and makes us good. He takes the unfaithful and he makes us faithful. Jesus takes the out of control, completely out of control, and he makes us self-controlled. Jesus gives us the law to show us our sin and our need for him, and then he changes our heart to the point where we don't even need laws. Right? They could pass all the laws they want, but if we're following Jesus, there's no law against that that matters. So what's your response to all this? Right? Are you like, no thanks, I'm good. I like my grumbling. I just love complaining. It's so good. It just makes me feel great after I do it. I love stressing out. Freaking out is so fun. It just makes me feel great afterwards. No, it doesn't. It's awful. Anxiety just robs you of so much joy. Or maybe for you, you're like, I'm actually pretty good. I walked in here, I feel great. I feel good. But if you're good apart from Jesus, it is fleeting. It's going to go away in moments. The only proper response to this call of Jesus, that he's going to change us, he's going to make us into something different, the only proper response is, yes, Jesus, show me what you need me to change. Yes, Jesus, show me what needs to change in my life. So a disciple of Jesus is a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. We're submitted to the reign of King Jesus. A disciple of Jesus follows Jesus. A disciple of Jesus is being changed by Jesus. Fourth characteristic. A disciple of Jesus Christ is sent by Jesus to catch, quote unquote, more disciples. Disciples of Jesus are sent by Jesus to go catch more disciples. Jesus gives these two fishermen a very appropriate analogy. Follow me, you fishers, and I will make you fishers of men. That's an analogy, right? They are casting their net into the sea when he calls them. They're trying to catch fish, and he's like, follow me, and you're going to catch men. You're going to be fishers of men. And to be explicit, it is fishers of men who follow Jesus as well. So Jesus pours himself into these men. A disciple of Jesus is sent to catch more disciples. A disciple of Jesus goes and invites other people to disciple Jesus, right? And so there, he calls two brothers, and then he's going to call two other guys, and then go on and on. And eventually, like what we read in Matthew chapter 28 earlier in the service, eventually there's going to be 11 disciples, and Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations. Jesus said that to 11 dudes. Make disciples of all nations. How'd they do it? Right, we're 2,000 years later, and there have literally been billions of Christians. There have been billions of disciples of Jesus Christ. How'd that happen? How do we go from 11 to billions? How'd it happen? One or two at a time. One or two at a time. Every once in a while, you get a few thousand at a time. Acts chapter 2, you get a few thousand at a time. There's been some crusades where people have talked about thousands of people becoming disciples of Jesus at one time in response to one sermon. But typically, it's happened one or two at a time. One person talking to another person, a mom talking to her kids, grandmother talking to her kids, fathers teaching their kids, people talking to their friends, people talking to their family members, people talking to their neighbors, people talking to those that they work with to the left and to the right, and saying, hey, I found something. I found somebody worthy of following. I'd love for you to come with me. Follow Jesus. we go and talk to others. I imagine as I talk about that, if you're a follower of Jesus, one to two people are coming to your mind, like their name and or their face is coming to your mind right now as I talk about that. And the Holy Spirit is like, you need to talk to that person about Jesus. You need to talk to that person, right? You need to engage them at a deeper level than just who won the game yesterday and what's the weather going to be like this week and what are we doing for work today. You need to engage them at a deeper level. I imagine it's one or two people. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, rarely is it 100 people. Like all of a sudden this is just like overwhelming list of like, I need to talk to everybody. Rarely is it that, and rarely is it zero. Typically, when somebody talks about disciples of Jesus inviting other disciples of Jesus to follow Jesus, it's one or two people. So who is that? And I encourage you, commit to talk to that person as soon as possible. I need to talk to you about something, right? Invite them in. Invite them into your life. Hey, I'm going to read the Bible every Tuesday at lunchtime. Would you come and I'll read the Bible aloud and we'll talk about it? Right, you could do that. You could invite them into a community group. We've just started community groups in the life of the church, and so you could just say, hey, come with me to this community group. We're going to sit around. We're going to eat a meal together. We're going to get to know each other, and we're going to open up the Bible together, and you should come with me. Would you want to do that? You can invite them to church. Like, hey, I go to this church Sunday. I'm going to be going to church. I'd love to have you join me. Come with me. A disciple of Jesus Christ is sent by Jesus to catch more disciples. So that's the call. Jesus preached a one-sentence sermon in verse 17. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we said that means a disciple of Jesus is submitting to the reign of King Jesus and is part of the kingdom of heaven. We saw, and we really just broke up that verse 19 where Jesus is calling these fishermen. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And so we worked through that and we saw that, hey, if I'm going to walk with Jesus, then I need to follow Jesus. He's in charge. I'm not. We learned that Jesus is after transformation of my heart and my life. And he expects me to go and find others to join in following him. And so you may ask, like, I wonder how Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, like, how did they respond to this call to discipleship? Look at verse 20. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Immediately, they left their nets and they followed Jesus. I love the simplicity of that sentence. I just love it. When did it happen? Immediately. What did they do? They dropped what they were doing and followed Jesus. It's that simple. I apologize. Sometimes in church, sometimes even this church, sometimes even conversations with me, we Christians make this way too difficult. We make it way too complicated. What does it look like to follow Jesus? Lay aside everything else that you think matters and follow Jesus. And anything else that you're going to pick up along the way is to serve you following Jesus better and allowing him to make you more and more like Jesus and allow you to tell more and more people about Jesus. That's what it's for. So the question for you is, how will you respond to Jesus' call to discipleship? He says, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. How will you respond? I can't think of a better day than today to follow Jesus, to repent of following your own ways and follow Jesus. I can't think of a better day. The only better day I could think of is 20 years ago, right? You should have followed Jesus 20 years ago. I wish I followed Jesus about 15 years earlier than I did. Right? Follow Jesus. Second best day is today. I became a disciple of Jesus a little over 24 years ago. A little over 24 years ago. I grew up around Christians. My parents are Christians. My grandparents, I believe, were all Christians. The church I went to was a relatively healthy church. But I spent the first 20 years of my life very, very skeptical on my best day and very, very antagonistic towards Christianity on my worst day. But most of the time, what I tried to do was live two different lives. Like, I tried to be the good kid and teenager and young adult over here and do some church and Christian kind of stuff over here while I was also living completely in sin and completely doing whatever I wanted to do over here. And I'm so thankful that God in His love said, no, 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 no. And Jesus called out and said, no, 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 follow me. Follow me. And I'll just tell you, after 24 years, it's been amazing. It hasn't always been easy. It's been a wild ride in so many ways. If you were to describe four or five things about my life, one being that I stand up and preach to people, zero of those were true when God saved me, right? And so God's going to transform you into being somebody different and in some ways doing other things. But I'll tell you, it is the best way to live. Jesus says that He will give us life and He will give it to us in abundance. He gives us an abundant life. In eternity, He gives us eternal life. But here, He gives us abundant life that is exampled or is displaying the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what He gives to us. It's so much better than trying to live in two worlds. It's so much better than following after what this world values. It's so much better than following after the lies of Satan. It's so much better than even following after your own ideas. And so I invite you to join us in following Jesus together. I love you guys. Let's pray. Lord, there is a myriad of barriers that keep us from following You. You are well aware. And Lord Jesus, You are able because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to You. You are able to remove every single one of those barriers that anybody here has from following You. So Jesus, I ask You to remove those barriers. I ask You to show each one here that You are worthy of following. And that if You need to change anything about any of us, that would be better than us staying where we are. And Lord, that You would show us who we need to talk to and invite to follow You. Lord, would You submit us to You, King Jesus? It is in Your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. As the musicians come forward, we're going to continue to sing a few songs. And I encourage you to either sing with us, or if you need to just sit and think and pray and look at lyrics or whatever you need to do, I encourage you to do that. Don't leave here without doing work with the Lord. Don't leave here without responding in the way that you need to respond. At the end of the service, I hang out up here. I would love to talk to you more. Whatever barriers you have, if you're like, I hear all that, but I've got this, I would love to have those conversations. I would love to have those conversations. I'm sure lots of people sitting around you would love to have those conversations. So let's respond to the Lord today. Start us off, Blaine.